You know, whenever there's a runway here, either we're going to be airing a show of Project Runway here. We actually did that years ago in the Dixie Building. We had a Project Runway winner from Lake Jackson who came here. Or student ministry is going to be doing a thing. You know, their retreat. They're having their junior high camp tonight. Starts tonight and goes this week. And high schoolers, you still have time to sign up. That's in 2 weeks from now. And there'll probably be another ramp back there. I don't know if we'll keep it the whole time. But I thought, might as well jump on this thing and do it. And you said I wouldn't give you a high five if I came up here. I'm waiting. There we go. Okay. Don't dare me. I'm bad. I had too many bad idea friends growing up. Okay, let me ask you a question. Listen to this quote. If it's flipping hamburgers, you should be the best hamburger. If it's flipping hamburgers at McDonald's, you should be the best hamburger flipper in the world. Whatever it is you do, you must master your craft. Who said that? Who? Close. He talked about being a sweet sweeper. That's sweet street sweeper. That's close. That's what I thought. Wasn't MLK. More modern. Anybody know? I have it on a reliable source that the person who said that, who said you must master your craft at whatever you do, was none other than the famous 21st century influencer and philosopher Snoop Dogg. He said it. You know who my reliable source is? None other than the cosmopolitan Michael Akers, who's our Mid-County campus pastor. I didn't know Michael was a Snoop Dogg fan. He may not be, but he just knows things. Michael knows things. Well, listen, I want you to look at that second line that Snoop Dogg said, because he was so right. He said, whatever it is you do, you have to master your craft. It's not so much about what you do. That's why Dr. King said, if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper. He was right about that too. It wasn't that. It's not about what you do. It's how you do it, because when you master your craft, it catches people's attention. And they're drawn to you. People are drawn to you when you really are good at what you do. It's just attractive. I'll give you an example. Up until recent years, I could care less about the game of soccer. There was nothing about soccer that interested me. When I was a kid growing up, they said it's a communist plot to take over America. That's just... So I wasn't interested in soccer at all. Matter of fact, I even looked for ways to work soccer jokes into my sermons years ago. I'll give you one. Why did God create mosquitoes? To keep soccer parents awake on the sidelines so they wouldn't get whacked in the head by soccer balls that hit everything but the net. Okay, so, but anyway, though, but I stopped telling soccer jokes when I realized really how offensive that was to people, especially my students. And so I've stopped telling soccer jokes other than that one I just told simply for context so you could kind of understand. Yeah. That didn't work, did it? Well, in spite of that, in spite of how I felt about soccer, or maybe because of it, some friends of mine and Kathy, Chuck and Carol Jones, are y'all here today? Chuck and Carol Jones, they invited me and Kathy to go watch a Houston Dynamo game up in Houston at BBVA Stadium. And I thought, might as well. Let's go try this out, you know? Yeah. Anyway, so I said, yeah, we'll go. So we went. I was expecting to be bored out of my mind, you know? We had a great experience. If you've been there, it is a cool stadium. It's great festive atmosphere. And we watched people who had mastered their craft. These were professionals. And they were so good. And what was even better was that Chuck and Carol took the time to explain the strategy. I didn't know soccer had strategy. I just thought they kicked the ball around until they were able to get in the net. There's a lot, not as much as baseball, but there's a lot of strategy. Those of you who are soccer fans, you know it, man. There's a lot. And once you start to understand that strategy, the game starts to come alive. And it came alive for me and Kathy, or at least for me. I don't know. I think Kathy enjoyed it too. Now, when I left that game, I didn't leave wanting to go to another soccer game. I just went more open to going to another soccer game. Because see, listen, whatever you do, whatever it is you do, do your very best. You must become a master of your craft. When you do that, it makes it more attractive to people. And that's what, when I saw people who had mastered their craft, it made that game, actually soccer, attractive to me. I want you to think about that statement, though, that Snoop Dogg said was, you must master whatever it is you do. That sounds like somebody else said that a long time ago. A guy named the Apostle Paul, who was one of the early church leaders, he said that to nearly every church that he planted. He used that phrase, whatever you do, several times. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do. Take this example. In 1 Corinthians 10, he goes, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Let me explain what that means, doing something for the glory of God. When you do something for the glory of God or bring glory to God, what that means is you help people see God in all of his greatness. And they're able to see that God's ways, when you bring glory to God, they're able to see God's ways are so superior to all of the other ways of the world. That's what it means to bring glory to God. And that's the whole point of this reset, is we want to reset our minds and hearts and attention on the ways of God. All the isolation and division of the past year has clouded our way. And we've gotten deterred and detoured from the ways of God. Reset is about resetting our hearts and minds on all this. Listen, we want to reset our minds on the ways of God and on the ways of Jesus. And write this down. The way of Jesus is what we're going to be calling the next several weeks the one another way. The way of Jesus is the one another way. That phrase, one another, is all through the New Testament Bible. So let's open your Bibles, if you have one, to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34. We'll put the words on the screen if you don't have a Bible. If you're following along on your phone, just scroll all the way down near the bottom where you get to John. If you're looking in your Bible, open it up about three-fourths of the way through. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the first four books of the New Testament. Those are four different eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection. We're going to the fourth of those four gospels or good news stories of Jesus. John 13, 34. Let me give you some context for this. Jesus demonstrated this one another way with his disciples at the Last Supper he ate with his disciples before he was crucified. After he had demonstrated humility and servanthood by washing his disciples' feet, he looked at him and one of the last things he said before he was crucified was this. He looked at his disciples, he said, a new command I give you, love one another. Now let me slightly differentiate this from this new command and the great commandment. During Jesus' ministry, he was asked once, what's the greatest commandment? If I want to get all the Bible right, all the rules, what's the greatest of these? And Jesus quickly answered, he said, the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then Jesus went up to him, he says, and the second one is just like it. So the great commandment is actually two. Love your neighbor as yourself. But now Jesus, he's even one up the great commandment. The last thing he said was, he's not talking about loving him and just loving other people. And when Jesus talked about loving your neighbor, he was talking about loving people that you normally wouldn't want to love. But he said here to his disciples, who are about to be in turmoil in a few hours, he said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you say it with me, love one another. He said it three times there. You know, most of us, we're hurting from this past year's fallout. It has been a rough year with all the sickness and death, with the job loss, the pay cuts, with the isolation, the emotional anxiety and depression that is set in, the racial division, the political division. I mean, we have all taken a hit, every one of us. We've all taken a hit in some way or another from those things that we have all shared. But I want you to think about something else. Think about the people who don't know Jesus Christ. Where do they have hope? At least we who know Jesus, we know how the story ends. We know that no matter what happens, we always have hope. But what about